I want to start by doing something I was not going to do until what just happened, and that is to share just kind of a little story of how illustrates what I'm going to be teaching about today. Every member is a minister, and let me just show you how it works. Yesterday, I was in a meeting, and I sinned. I got angry. I said, no, I don't think I swore and, you know, hit somebody in the nose, but I sinned in my tone, my voice, my anger. And it was a heavy day for me, miserable day for me. Though I'd asked for forgiveness, it was just of the person and of the group and of the Lord. Linda was gone all day, so I was kind of home. Anyway, it was just a miserable day, just miserable day. And I got up this morning and I was doing a little bit better because I just experienced His mercies are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. I thought, God, You forgive me. You can still use me. And because it's not often I get angry. That's not one of my besetting sins. But I did. And I was miserable about that. So then this morning, I got up and I feel a little better. Well, then I get a text from Ken Anderson, a brother. And this is, we're going to talk today about how every member is a minister. And I want you to see how this works. Ken just wrote me a note. All he said is, I'm praying for you to sense God's presence today and experience His joy. And he's praying that for me. And then we come here today, and there was a lot of joy because every single Sunday when I get to stand out there and see you coming in, you bring great joy to my life. It's great joy to see you coming together to worship together. So that brought joy. But then Tom and Joy, when you sang, and I wrote down the songs because I always forget the words. I hadn't listened to the words of all the songs, but guys, when they're singing the one song, Our Sins They Are Many, Your Mercy Is More. Guys, that's very comforting me today. Because I know our sins are all many, but man, when they're that fresh, when they're that new for me, it was just good to hear His mercy is more. And then the next song they sing is Leave Behind the Regrets and Mistakes. Guys, that was yesterday. I need to leave that behind. I've confessed, I this morning called the person I sinned against, and it was a sweet time. I said, listen, I confess to the group, but I want to confess to you. And he was very gracious to give forgiveness. But I share that, guys, just to let you see how God uses the body. Those weren't great gifts to write a text and say something, but God used His gift of encouragement, His gift of prayer to bless me. They didn't know they were picking out songs that were going to minister to my heart today, but they did. And so I just wanted to see that as the beginning of what we started about today, because we're going to talk about, I'm going to challenge every one of you to know, you too can be used of God to bless other people and to glorify Him. In little ways and big ways. And that's what we're going to talk about. I hope I can convince you that today through God's word and His spirit that you'll realize I can make a difference in this world. I can make a difference in this church. I can make a difference in my family because I believe you can. Let me pray. Father, I thank you so much for how you work. I thank you for how you've used people this morning in my life to remind me of truths I must never forget. Your mercy is more. Father, we can come to you arms open wide because you're a loving, forgiving God. And Father, I pray now as I teach your word that it would be received with open hearts. And Father, with understanding that every single one of us can be used of you to glorify you, but also to bless and serve many in the days ahead. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, guys, it has been a privilege going with you through the series on 15 characteristics of a healthy church. We're about halfway through, in case you want to know, but it has been a joy, and I tell you this every week, but sometimes it's towards the end, but I want you to know I love you folks, and like I just said about the joy you bring me every week, but I do. I love you folks, and I love God's word, and to be able to bring those two together is great joy. And so today we will look at the seventh characteristic of a healthy church, and it's one of the core values of my life that I adopted many years ago, and one of the core values of our church. If you go on our website, this is one of our core values. And we're going to be looking today at a biblical teaching, but also a biblical command. And this is what it says, that each, this is not the verse, but this is what it teaches, and a command that comes with it. Each and every one of us who is a part of the body of Christ has been given a gift to use for our good, the benefit of the body of Christ, and the glory of others. And that's what I just want to understand is that, guys, it really is for our good, the body's benefit, and God's glory that we understand this idea about Him using every gift. I want to say at the beginning, and some I'm going to repeat at the end because repetition is the key to learning. But at the beginning, I want to say what I believe, you know, with all the core of my life, what the Bible teaches about His commands. And that is that they are for our good, others' benefit and his glory. Any command he gives, it might be hard, it might be big, it might be little, but any commands he gives is for our good, others' benefit, and his glory. They're either to provide us, they're either to protect us from something we should not be doing, or to provide us with something we should be doing. Those are what his commands will do. So today we're going to look then and challenge you as far as to look at this command and to not act on the command we're going to look at today. You'll be robbing yourself of great joy. You're going to be neglecting this body of great benefit, and I believe you're going to be ignoring some or take away some of God's glory. And so I'm going to hope it really moves us to that. We use the phrase a lot around here, a whole lot. Every member is a minister. And I realize we just kind of take it for granted that you believe that and you know that, but we've never really gone in here from the pulpit and given a biblical support of why we believe that. It's not just our phrase. It's a thing we really believe and really think the Bible supports. So with that as introduction, if out honor and respect for God's word, if you'll stand, I'm going to read the two verses we're going to be looking at today in depth. And this is where we kind of build this idea. Every member is a minister around. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Go ahead and be seated. And guys, just so you know, yes, Micah does talk fast, but you need to see in my notes at the top of every page is handwritten. It's every other page. The first page says slow. The next page says slower. The next page says slow. The next page says slower. So I do try. I really do try to speak slower. And I'm on Micah a lot because I said, Micah, I'm telling you, it's easier to break habits when you're young than when you're old. And you're young and you talk fast. And so you need to learn now because I'm old and I still talk fast, but I try not to. So I do try. I do write it down there. We'll see how it goes. We're just going to take them word by word from this verse. The first one is the word each. And I love this. I very seldom use any Greek because I don't know any Greek. But I did use it on this particular time. And the word is hekastos is the Greek word for each. And it's used 62 times in the Bible, but only 2 times in the same tense and way that it's used here about each one of you has this gift. The 2 times it's used are these. In Exodus 16:16, let every man gather according to his need. So it's not like, oh, Moses should do it or the prayer professionals should do it. No, every one of you, every man should go out there and get what he needs. The next one is Ephesians 5:33. Let each one of you love his wife. Referring to all of us who are married, it's not like, well, will you love your wife? But Gary, you don't have to. It's, no. Each one of us, it's for every one of us to love our wives. So that's just the idea that it's all of us. The next one is has received. And it's important to know here, we don't deserve the gifts we get. We don't merit them. They're given because God is a giving good God. It's nothing we have done to deserve them. Therefore, there's no reason to brag about our gift, and there's no reason to complain about our gift, or no reason to compare our gift. If he's the giver, and he's good, and he knows everything, then he knows what gifts I can use well. And so I don't need to compare and say, well, I wish I could sing and play like Tom. I do, but I'm not going to complain about that. I'm going to rejoice that God's given him the ability to learn how to play that and sing, give him that voice. And just know that someday in glory, I'm going to sing like that. So I can wait. But the idea is he gives them, here's some evidence, this idea about we can't boast. 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who makes you any different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you didn't? And guys, I'm learning again, and I've learned and learned, but over and over, every breath I take is a gift, right? I don't even tell myself for my heart to beat. It just beats because it's a gift that God has given me, a body that's healthy at this point. And every gift we have is a gift from him. It's just a gift that he's given us to use. The comparing, I think, sometimes is harder. When our kids were growing up, we had to memorize this verse about comparing yourself to one another and said, because the scripture says it's a fool does that. Well, our kids didn't want to be fools, and I don't want to be a fool, but we still sometimes fall into that. But here's what 2 Corinthians 10:12 says. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with someone or some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Some translations say they are a fool. So we don't really need to be comparing our gifts. We don't need to really be bragging about our gifts. They're gifts that God's given wisely by him to know how we're going to use them. The third word we're going to look at is gift. It's a very broad idea because it's just broken down in two types of gifts, speaking and serving. So there's a lot of gifts that fall under that category. But it is clear to know that each one of us has been given some gift. I think some are given multiple, but all of us have at least one. As you read through the scripture, Old Testament, New, Old Testament made more clear, there's so many different gifts that he used, of gifts of construction guys who built things, gift of artists who designed things, gift of musicians, some of hospitality in the New Testament. There's a variety of ways that God can use our different gifts, and we're talking about that in the end. But here's a quote, every part is important. Each has its job to do. Even the smallest, seemingly least important part of the body of Christ is important. And I was preparing this, I ran across the illustration that I really related to, but only the second half. The first half I don't relate to. So the first half is this. There's a man who had a lawnmower and it broke down, and so he's going to rebuild the engine. Now, that part I did not relate to at all, because like I'm going to rebuild an engine, like I don't even know how to take the engine apart. I mean, maybe I could get it apart, but I knew I'd never get together. But it talks about he was going to rebuild his engine, so he took it apart, he rebuilt it, and he had one part left. But he thought, well, I don't really, in this part I can relate to, I don't really know what to do with this part, so I'll just see if it works without it. So he started the engine, it worked great, and he thought, it's probably not needed. Threw the part away, went on, mowed his lawn, came to the end to turn the lawnmower off. That was the part that was needed. He didn't know how to turn it on. There was no switch to turn it off. And I just, guys, that's how it could be about us thinking, oh, our gift's really not important. Maybe we don't have any idea how important your gift is. And maybe it's like the lawnmower, that when it comes time that you're going to use your gift, it's going to have huge impact that you didn't even know. Next one, used to serve one another. And you know, and I know I'm preaching to the choir in here, but I've had many conversations with people I love dearly that have, from COVID on, they've not come back to church building. And they're saying, you know, we're able to listen to at home. We listen to great messages. And guys, how can you argue, you know? Oh, no, I can preach better than Matt Chandler, Francis Chan, John Piper, all those guys. Yeah, right. But what I do tell them is, guys, I just think you're missing the fact that God's giving you gifts that are to minister to other people. And so that's my argument. And one of the arguments of why the body, they need to be here, is we need them, and they need to be using their gift. The gifts are the benefit of the whole church. He gives them that we might bless and serve others. That's what they're for. I am completely amazed as I continue to read through God's word, whether it be Old Testament or New Testament, at how many different ages and stages and sexes of people that he uses. He uses all kinds of people to bless others, to glorify himself. And here's the truth. He does not need to use any of us. He doesn't. In Luke 19:40, it says, and answered, the Pharisees are charging him to tell his disciples, stop, they're praising, stop. And he says to them, if they didn't do it, the stones would cry out. He doesn't need us to do the things we're doing. It's a gift that he gives to us to find joy and purpose to bless other people. He has used donkeys, burning bushes, whales, ravens, lions, and on it goes to accomplish his purposes. He does not need us to do it. It's a gift that he gives us to bless other people, to glorify himself, and again, I'm arguing to bring joy to us, to give purpose to us. Next one, slow. I see it up there, slow. Next one, as God's stewards, as good stewards of God's grace, we are responsible for others' resources. That's what a steward is someone responsible for another's resources. And Chip Ingram has this quote that I loved. It said, a steward is more of a giver than a guardian. And he used an example about the parable of the talents. And when the master came back to check, the guy that had hid his to protect and say, I'm going to make sure it's safe, he was not commended for that. And the idea is, if we've been given a gift, it's not just to kind of hide and hope someday that, you know, it's to use. And the key is to be faithful, to discover, and then use that gift, whatever it is, for others' benefit and God's glory. If not, it will, and this says, it will be wasted if it comes to us, but doesn't move through us. That's a Chuck Smith, Calvary Chapel guy. Some of you saw the movie Jesus Revolution. This is the guy that was the pastor that started Calvary Chapels. But as, again, the gift comes to us. It's not to be the Dead Sea to come and stay. It's to come and then to be used to other people. A sobering part of this part is about stewards is we will each give an account for how we use that gift. Romans 14, 12 talks to us about all of life. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. And we talk about that a lot in the areas of things. We talk about schooling. We say there are so many options, and it's so easy to start saying, well, I have the right way, and my way, this is the way you should be parenting your children or schooling your children. I say, guys, listen, nobody knows your children better than you do. But we do need to realize we are responsible to train our children in admonition of the Lord. How you do that, that is what you will give account for. I won't give account to you. You'll give account to 141. And the same thing when it comes about our gifts. We are going to be responsible to be stewards of the gifts he's given us. Next one is strength that God supplies. And boy, do we need that. But it's, I love this. This came from a guy named Joe Rigney. And he just had four parts that he said, God's grace trains us. And if you look at the word, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. That's who teaches us, God's grace. God does the work, if you go down the bottom, that he might. He is the one who saves. He is the one who changes people. But God does not work in a vacuum. He doesn't work apart from our efforts, but through our efforts. And you look at Isaiah, that we are the ones who deny ungodliness. We should do these things. So there's this balance again between God's part and our part. I've heard it said before that our part he will not do, his part we cannot do. But somehow there's this balance, again, this narrow road of following Jesus in every area of life, I believe. And one of the narrow roads is to follow Jesus, is to be dependent on him, but be responsible for what I've been given. The dishes are saying it's all up to him. He's got to do it all. The other is saying, I can do it all. Both of those are ditches that aren't going to be good. As Lee was talking to us about, it's a watershed issue to understand. You can't go down either one of those slopes or it's a long ways to the wrong way. So some have to balance them. Last part of this phrase, then we'll look to some application. To him belong glory. I'm sorry, let me go back one. In order that in everything God may be glorified. Again, the key is to find our gift to use to benefit others, to bring glory to him. Great example. I know the name Bach, but I thought, is he an author or is he a composer? I knew one of the two, Tom. I did know it was one of those two things. Tom's a very bright guy and kind of knows all. He would know right off the bat. But I did look it up. I said, yeah, composer. I had it right. But he was a composer, and all the compositions he made, he wrote on every composition, SDG, Soli Deo Gloria, to God be the glory. Every composition he wrote, he had finished with saying, may God get glory out of this composition. And again, I probably have heard some of his compositions, don't know the ones he wrote. Maybe he wrote some of the Christmas ones, I don't know. But I know that he wrote at the bottom of everyone, may God get the glory from what I just did and that people are going to be blessed with. To him belong glory. To him alone belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Again, big picture of life, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That is the chief end of man through catechism we just know the Bible teaches. 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. That's what we're to live for. Matthew 5:16, therefore let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We've talked about how one of my heart's desire for us as a church is that we're going to be a part of rebranding the church's image to the world. We don't have a good image right now. Not firm family, but the church doesn't. And may we do good deeds. May we love in such a way that it's going to bring glory to God, not disgrace. And guys, I cannot tell you how much I applaud how many of you are doing that in the ways that you're doing things of serving, giving, blessing, caring for, compassion, all the things you're doing that I hear about over and over. I just think, Lord, thank you that we're having a small part of rebranding the church's image. I always like to end my messages with, so what? I am so far ahead of time. I could probably take another verse or something. So what? Two applications from today's message, and they are, again, the goal is to, I wanted to try and convince us that it is a command. Each one should use, that's a command to us, but also that the command is for our good, others' benefit, and God's glory. But here's two applications. They're very simple. One, this came from a man, Dave Prather. He was my pastor when I was down in Lancaster, and loved the guy. And he was kind of our, when we were growing up, our kids were young, that was their pastor. But he had this phrase of find a need and meet it, find a hurt and heal it. And he said, if you don't know your gift, just start by doing that. Just try to find a need and meet it, find a hurt and heal it. And he also said, and as I've practiced this, it's so, so true. He said, if you're operating your giftedness, if you do that, you find a hurt, find a need and meet it, find a hurt and heal it. If you're operating your giftedness, probably two things are going to happen. You're going to receive some affirmation for that. Somebody's going to say, hey, thanks so much for caring for me. Thanks so much for writing that note. Thanks so much for helping me move. Thanks so much for, you're probably going to get affirmed for that and kind of say, oh, wow, maybe God can use me this way. Also, probably, not always, but I have found it true in my life, probably you will enjoy it. You'll get some joy out of using that gift. You'll say, wow, that felt good to be able to do that for that person, whatever it might be. Ken reads, when I write a message, I send it to Ken. I say, Ken, this is a rough draft. Polish it up. He does. He always has me great, great, great things to do. And he said, well, Will, share examples under this. And so I did. And when I thought, this is about 30 years ago, probably 30, 35 around that. This is back when I was not paid for being good. I was good for nothing, right? That's, I'm paid for being good. Some of you pay good for nothing. No, you're all, that's a phrase that it's actually Dave Prather, the same pastor, came with that. And but this is back when I was not paid for being good. But we moved into Lancaster. Lancaster was this Southern California, a very fast-growing city outside of L.A. It's part of L.A. County, but outside, where people could afford to buy homes down there then. And it was just growing exponentially. I mean, just boom, boom. They couldn't build houses fast enough for people to buy. And we bought and we moved there. But the other, so it was a growing city, but also we were part of a growing church. There was it's kind of like a mega church, and we were part of that, and it was growing. And so I saw there is a need for people to have friends. We were part of them. Man, we don't know anybody. We don't know anybody in Lancaster. We were part of over here in the San Gabriel Valley. And we didn't know people out here. And so I saw a need and I thought, I can meet it. I can start a class that'll kind of just help build relationships. And so I asked Pastor Dave, can I take him to lunch? He paid though, he had the credit card. He paid for lunch. And I told him, I said, hey Dave, Linda and I could start a class that would be beneficial to the church and the community, just a way to connect people. And so he said, Will, I'm all for it. Put an announcement in the bulletin, gave me a room, and we started this class called the Home Builders Class. To this day, there are friends from that class. It's 30, 35 years later. They're still friends. We still talk to. We still see when we go to Lancaster. But again, it was just seen. It was nothing big. Anybody could have done that. But we did do that there. The other part of the application would be dream a dream and build a team around something you love doing. Or find a team doing something you love and join it. Either one. And so again, give an example because Ken told me to. And that is that sometimes others will dream their dream for you, okay? Because once we went back, this is probably 40 years ago, right when about Noel was going to be born, we had a friend, Alan Hadidian. Some of you know him. He was pastor of Valley Community for a while. He used to be at John MacArthur's church. He's written some books. We were at his church, a very new church, and he was doing a parenting class, and Lynn and I went to it because we were about to have a kid. We wanted to learn. And I just got excited about it, just seeing biblical truths about parenting. I got so excited. So he took it with it. By the end of the class, Alan said, hey, Will, would you sit through the next one with me and kind of like think about maybe you start taking this class over? And so I did sit with him in the next one, and I did take it over. And now 40 years over, we're still doing parenting classes that we love to do. Now, it's very different than what it started. It's morphed, but it all started because somebody asked me to join his team. So you want to be sure when somebody asks you to at least think about, well, could maybe God use this? Because maybe it is. I want to just give some ideas and we're going to close. Some teams we have seen develop here at this church we've seen. Some of them may need to be restarted, but there's just some teams off the top of my head I came to. We've had teams who formed softball teams. We have teams who are small group hosts and small group leaders. Children's ministry is a team. Child care ministry is a team. A mission team goes to Mexico to build homes. Mission teams go to Nicaragua to serve in every way possible, working along beside national missionaries down there. We have a team that went to Dinuba with Ed Holberg led last year with gleanings to send food all over the world, but a team went down there. We have worship teams. We have children's ministry craft night team, something coming up on December 10th. Mark your calendar now. But there'll be a team of probably 20 people who will turn this place into tables, and there'll just be kids going around making crafts for Christmas. But there's a team of people that do it there. I list all those just say, be creative in what you think. Just think, what do you enjoy? And then try and create something that you could use that for. And here's what I encourage you to do on that is give your children a seat at the table to brainstorm with you if they're old enough. Let them try and think about what would be fun to do at our church. What need do we see in our church? What need do we see in the community? And you might be surprised what they'll come up with. I want to repeat something that I shared 2 weeks ago when I taught on team ministry, because I want to make sure that you, again, I know we're all in different stages of life, right? Some of you, I can speak to Taryn back there, 4 daughters under the age of Grace. Where are you at? How old are you, Grace? Almost 7. So she's got 4 kids, 6 and under. One of them, Marley Mae, how old are you? 3 weeks? How old? 4 weeks. Okay, that's a lot of work. So for me, I don't want Taryn leaving here thinking, I feel so bad. I can't be on the worship team. And I have this beautiful voice and I can play guitar. Guys, we have to understand there are seasons when we can use certain gifts and certain ones we can't. I happen to know, because I live right behind them, they do use their home for hospitality. But I want to make sure we understand that the key to a healthy and fruitful living is learning what to say no to in order to say yes to something else. You cannot say yes to everything, and you should not say no to everything. Either way is good. That's narrow road, somehow in the middle of that, knowing what to say yes to, what to say no to. But I hope you saw today that if you do not use the gift God's given you in any way, shape, or form, you're going to be robbed of some joy, the church is going to be robbed of some benefit, and God's going to be robbed of some glory. Now, just one, this, I didn't share this last week, but I thought of it this week, I thought it was helpful, is you think, well, how do I know what to say yes and no to? Here's, if you're married, one of the great ways is saying, Linda, you think I'm overcommitted? I got asked to be a part of this. Well, it just happened, actually. Got asked to do a seminar for Grace Community's doing a parenting weekend, a big seminar. They asked me if I'd do 1-hour seminar. And I kind of was hoping Linda would say no, but she didn't, so I'm going to have to work on it. But I said, Linda, what do you think? It's November 18th. It's a Saturday. What do you think? And she said, I think 1 hour, I think you it's good. You love that and you could do it. So one thing might be to talk with your spouse and say, what do you think? And if they say, I'm dying here. And again, I didn't do this well early in our marriage, Lenny can contest to, because I was a lot younger and stronger. I'm faster then. I just thought I could do everything. So when I started at school, they were just kind of like, yes, 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 yes. And that was really harmful to us as a relationship. And so if I would have asked Lenny, hon, what do you think about me? Maybe, I hope it wasn't a no to this one, coaching the cross country team. If she said, you should not, you're overcommitted already, that would crush me. Hopefully, though, I would have listened, but I didn't even ask. I just took the cross country team. But I say all that to say, there is some wisdom in just ask your spouse, how do you think I'm doing in balancing the yes and no's in my life? The other would be to ask older and wiser people what they think about. Hey, I've got 4 kids, they're under 6, but I've been asked to be a part of a worship team. It means practice during the week. What do you think? And my guess, if it's an older, wider person, they'll probably say, well, talk to your husband, talk to your wife. But the idea is to take counsel on that, and just not to say yes to everything, not to say no to everything, but be wise in what you say yes and no to. So I'm going to end with what I started with, because I told you I would, and that is that, guys, I believe the Bible teaches, and I believe that the Bible commands, for our good and others' benefit and His glory, that He's given us gifts to be used. And my desire is that we will not rob ourselves of the joy that comes from using our gift. We'll not rob others the benefit, and we'll not rob God of the glory. And I just pray, I've been praying all week, that some of you just say, I'm going to just be creative, and I'm going to think of a way. Now, again, I know 165 of you, the last time we did this, Mike and I did, went through our church and said, how many people are involved in some type of ministry? 165 of you were. So that's a lot of people for a church this size. So we're doing great, but there's probably some who say, well, I've never been challenged to use my gift. I hope today was a day that will just challenge you. Not to think you have to go and commit to everything that somebody asks you, but you might find something that you say, man, I'm a part of that church. God's using me in that church. That's why it's my church, is because I'm a part of it. That's the goal. Let me pray, and then we're even have time to share. You can be thinking, we're going to, before Tom comes back, or Julie, I'm not sure, and lead us in the doxology, you're going to have an opportunity to share, bring the mic around, just something you want to give. We're going to praise God from whom all blessings flow. Maybe something you want to give God praise for, of a blessing that came to your life this week. Like I had the blessing yesterday of hearing from Peyton saying, he said, hey, Will, he called, he said, put your phone on speaker and then look at your text. I sent you a picture. And I started thinking, well, why does he want me to look right now? But I looked at it, and there he was on one knee at Bernie Falls asking his little girl to marry him. Well, that's a blessing to me. So I just shared my blessing. But some of you might think of something else. So let me pray. And then Grace, you can come and get the microphone and run it around for us. Father, I do thank you so much for your word. I thank you that it helps us to know you.
I think it helps us to know ourselves, and I think it helps us to know how you want us to live. And Father, I pray that we would be people who find ways, however small, however big, whatever gift you've given us, we find ways to use it in a healthy way, not overcommitting, not undercommitting, but Father, just that balance of saying yes to the right things and no to the right things. Give us ideas, give us creativity of how we can create ministry that maybe nobody's even thought of up till now. Thank you again for the people in this room, Father, for the hearts they have to be here, and Father, for the hearts they have to be used of you, and just pray you'll give them ideas of how to do that even more. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, great.